Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Friday, May 29, 2020. We're going to start off with the front page, of which the biggest story is headlined, Ready to Open. Businesses excited, cautious as stay-home order eases. This story is Dateline Bloomington. On Friday morning, clients at Polka Dot Parlor will take their first steps into Phase 3 of the Restore Illinois plan to reopen the state. Business owners are excited yet nervous. It's a little bit overwhelming, but also we're grateful for the business and people wanting to come back to us and trusting us to come back and be able to do this, said Nicole DeRue, who owns the small salon in Hudson. Restrictions put in place in March to limit the spread of COVID-19 will loosen but not go away as the shelter-in-place order ends. The Phase 3 rules include wearing masks and maintaining 6 feet of distance during retail shopping and in other indoor spaces, with some capacity limits as well. Salons, barbershops, and spas now can welcome clients inside for the first time in more than 2 months, keeping in mind various health and safety guidelines. Retail stores like Von Maur also are opening their doors, and restaurants and bars can serve customers seated outside. Also opening are health and fitness centers like Four Seasons Health Club, which can offer one-on-one training and outdoor group classes. Non-essential businesses and offices that don't fit into specific categories will reopen as well, although telework is strongly encouraged when possible. And while most welcome a chance to ease back into normal, Deb Gentry of Normal is a bit more hesitant. "I think it's a wait and see," she said. "We will let other people be the guinea pigs," we keep telling ourselves. Gentry wants to put safety first. "If I get there and I think that it's not suitable, I guess I'm going to have to be ready, as much as I want a haircut, to turn around and leave," she said. The staff at Red Raccoon Games spent most of the week rearranging the store in preparation for opening up the retail side of the downtown Bloomington business on Friday. The game, play, and event space will remain closed. "We've really rearranged a lot of stuff to make it so people can see everything and don't need to actually touch things until they're ready to make a purchase," said owner Jamie Mathey, who also is a Ward 1 alderman. "But if they do want to touch something and decide not to purchase it, we've got sanitation stations around so that they can make sure that they are staying healthy." Excuse me. Curbside pickups will remain available at several retail shops, including Red Raccoon, for those folks who still want to buy things but aren't ready to come into the store yet, Mathey said. Von Maur at the Shops at College Hills in Normal will be the first department store to open Friday, although with reduced hours. Busy Corner Family Restaurant in Goodfield is dusting off picnic tables. Mackinac Valley Vineyard will offer outdoor seating with indoor bar service in the tasting room. "We are glad to see you and will be smiling behind our masks, even though you may not see it," vineyard owner Diane Hahn wrote in a Facebook post. "Thank you for your help in following the rules so we can continue to stay open to serve you, and you can keep coming here for years to come and have fun." The Rivian Automotive plant in Normal began a phased return-to-work plan on Thursday. State parks will be fully reopened. Outdoor activities, including boating, camping, and tennis, will be allowed but restricted to no more than 10 people in a gathering. At Four Seasons at 2401 Airport Road in Bloomington, members can join outdoor classes by signing up online starting Monday, with personal training available both indoors and outdoors. Back at Polka Dot Parlor, DeRue is happy. "I feel good that I can earn a living for my family. It's also for our community here. Our salon is a pretty key part to that, so it is great for the community aspect to be reopening as well," DeRue said. "And then there's also the nerve-wracking part of it, making sure that we're following everything we can and being as professional as we possibly can through all of this. Megan Jenkins Anderson, who owns Station 710 Salon at 710 McGregor Street in Bloomington, said staff will work at 50% capacity when the salon reopens Monday. Clients will be asked to wait in their cars before their appointments, ensuring no more than 10 people are on the salon floor. And stylists at both facilities will re-sanitize their tools and work area between appointments, with fewer appointment slots throughout the day. "It's going to be very stressful, our new normal," Jenkins Anderson said. And our next front page story is headlined, "Board Tables Plan to Reopen. Members Split on Sub-Region Proposal." This story is Dateline Bloomington. Excuse me. After nearly 2 hours of spirited discussion at a special meeting Thursday, the McLean County Board voted 12-8 to table a motion to immediately implement the Restore Heart of Illinois plan, which would have, among other things, allowed some businesses and institutions to reopen at a quicker pace than under the governor's Restore Illinois plan. The Heart of Illinois plan carves out an 11-county region from Governor J.B. Pritzker's much larger North Central region. It was developed by the City of Peoria, Peoria County, and the Peoria City and County Health Department. However, those entities have decided not to move forward with the plan. Board member Carlo Robustelli, who made the motion to table, said, "It is a regional plan without the region." Board member Chuck Erickson, who supported implementing the Heart of Illinois plan, said businesses need a plan with a start date to counter the devastation that's been seen. "We want a plan that reopens the economy and does it safely." Another supporter of the plan, board member George Wendt, said all businesses should have the opportunity to open. He said the longer businesses are shut down, the more that are going to go under or file for bankruptcy. Board members opposed implementing the Heart of Illinois plan. Board members who opposed implementing the Heart of Illinois plan pointed to a letter from and a statement by McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight, who said, "The health department does not have the capacity to fulfill our role in the implementation." Voting to table efforts to implement the Heart of Illinois plan were Board Chair John McIntyre and board members Robustelli, Josh Barnett, Lindsay Bloomfield, William Kaisley, Sharon Chung, George Gordon, Elizabeth Johnston, Susan Schaefer, Logan Smith, Shana Wachinski, and Lori Walrob. Voting against were board members Erickson, Wendt, Jacob Beard, William Friedrich, Randall Martin, Catherine Metzger, Jim Soldner, and Gerald Thompson. The Heart of Illinois plan calls for reopening based on data, including healthcare, hospital bed and equipment availability, testing capacity, and community engagement. The health department is in the process of hiring people to do contact tracing, but they do not expect to hire or train and be in action until July, McKnight explained. At the outset of the meeting, County Administrator Camille Rodriguez said that no matter whether the governor's plan or the Heart of Illinois plan were followed, McLean County will need to have more testing, more contact tracing, and cooperation from the public in terms of hand washing and wearing masks. Although Kaisley voted to table the resolution, he was critical of Pritzker's actions. "It's not only businesses that have suffered in Illinois. He caused schools to close. He has interfered with exercise of freedom of religion," Kaisley said. Of 7 public comments read into the record, only 2 supported implementation of the Heart of Illinois plan. In addition, Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner sent a letter to the board opposing immediate implementation of the plan. In his letter, Renner wrote, "I urge you to be prudent and wait until further plans are properly vetted and to operate within the framework established by Governor Pritzker. Chung said having two plans, the governor's plan and the Heart of Illinois plan, would cause confusion, and I'm afraid that with confusion, more people will get sick and die. Beard said he has looked at the Heart of Illinois plan as a complementary plan to restore Illinois, not a conflicting plan that was more tailored to our communities. We cannot be in lockdown indefinitely, he said. Wachinski noted that the creators of the plan had backed away from it, and the McLean County Health Department said it was not ready to implement it immediately. In times like this, we have to call on the professionals. We have to weigh that knowledge as opposed to emotion, she said. Wendt said, although neither Peoria County nor other counties in the proposed subregion were moving forward with the plan, maybe if we lead, they will pass it. And the last front page story is about the George Floyd case. It's headlined, Minnesota Man's Death in Custody Shocks Bloomington Normal Leaders. Officers clearly out of line, proper training called vital. This story is datelined Bloomington. Bloomington Normal law enforcement say the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody calls attention to the importance of training. That shouldn't be a wake-up call for anybody. That was clearly out of line, said McLean County Sheriff John Sandage. You only use force to gain compliance, and it looked to me like he had gained compliance. Even proper use of force should have get discontinued at that time. Bloomington Police Dan Donath, Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner, and Illinois State University Police Chief Aaron Woodruff reacted similarly to the video of the arrest of Floyd, a handcuffed black man in police custody. Police arrested him after a grocery store worker said he passed a counterfeit $20 bill. In footage, recorded by a bystander, Floyd is shown on the ground while Officer Derek Chauvin presses him to the pavement with a knee on Floyd's neck. Floyd pleads that he cannot breathe. Four officers at the scene subsequently were fired. Police said Floyd was resisting arrest. Chauvin's lawyer has declined to comment. It was a shocking video to see. This seems to be a control tactics issue, and use of a knee on the neck isn't one that I am aware of would be recommended anywhere, Woodruff said. The death has sparked protests in Minneapolis, New York, Chicago, and other cities. Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason, a former police officer who chairs the Illinois Law Enforcement and Training Standards Board, called it completely inappropriate behavior. Leaders of the Bloomington Normal branch of the NAACP are appalled, dismayed, and exasperated by Floyd's death. I am angry, disgusted, and hurt by the occurrences related to Mr. Floyd's horrific death, Linda Foster, president of the Bloomington Normal chapter, said in a statement. Even as the world contends with the COVID-19 pandemic, African Americans are also contending with another pandemic, racism. This must cease and desist. We are calling on every citizen of our community to stand up for justice, as all lives really do matter. Carla Campbell Jackson, who is the first vice president of the local chapter, called for accountability, saying the officers' reckless indifference and diabolical actions demand measured actions. Donath acknowledged that, saying, "Think about how the African American population will look at law enforcement and the way they will respond to us is hurt by this incident. All of the great work that our police officers do in Bloomington, that kind of gets thrown out the window in a sense," he added. "People aren't going to recognize that. They are going to be tainted by what somebody did in some other state and some other city." The chiefs and sheriffs said prevention comes down to good training, good policies, and good procedures. Officers also learn how to de-escalate situations and about cultural diversity and biases. "We do all of that, proper pressure points and control tactics training, because obviously people do resist arrest and we do have to control them," said Donath. "Those can be very difficult situations, and I can tell you that any time somebody resists arrest, it's never pretty." Bleichner said the Normal Police Department and other agencies in McLean County have signed on to the Illinois Police Chiefs and the state NAACP's 10 shared principles, and the number one principle is that we value the life of every person and consider life to be of the highest value. I am saddened because there seem to be a lot of opportunities to de-escalate that situation that weren't done, said Bleichner. In that particular situation, the knee to the neck isn't necessary when you've got an individual who says he can't breathe. Why would you not check on that? There are times when we have to wrestle people to the ground, and we will use our weight on their backs to help control them, but a knee to the neck would not be a location where we would ever apply weight or pressure, Donath said. The incident cost a man his life, and that's horrible, but beyond that, the repercussions are nationwide, added Donath. Governor J.B. Pritzker this week called for transparency and accountability with the investigation of Floyd's death. Being black in America cannot be a death sentence, but it is, in some ways it is, Pritzker said Wednesday during a press conference in East St. Louis, and it's dangerous to pretend otherwise. Pritzker said the images from Minneapolis should be a call to action for Illinoisans and Americans. We as a people have not yet found the humanity to stop these vile, horrid acts from happening, to truly contend with the racism that permeates our society, and then to root it out, Pritzker said. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner said he was repulsed by the incident, noting the use of police officer body cameras helps deter misbehavior. And added Norma Mayor Chris Coos, I am very confident that would not happen in our community because of the professionalism that our police officers are trained to put forward. Citing the 1991 police beating of Rodney King and the 2014 police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Woodruff looked forward. These are moments that tend to cause law enforcement to reflect on what they are doing. Hopefully, what comes out of this is a positive change, not just for the Minneapolis Police Department, but for many law enforcement agencies. If they weren't already looking at how we are training our officers, this may be something to help encourage better training for officers. And now we're going to move to the local and state section. The first story is headlined, McLean County Cases Steady, Hospitalizations Down, Recoveries Up. It's datelined Bloomington. After several days of bad news, COVID-19 numbers are looking better in McLean County, with more people recovering and fewer hospitalizations. The McLean County Health Department reported no new cases and no deaths in its daily update on Thursday. The total of confirmed cases remains at 216. 11 people have died. But overnight, 4 more people were considered recovered, bringing that number to 166. 3 people are hospitalized, 1 fewer than Wednesday, and 36 are isolated at home, 3 fewer than a day before. In McLean County, about 2/3 of the patients are women, and the majority of cases, 133, involve whites. People in their 20s represent the majority of patients, followed by people in their 50s, 60s, 40s, 70s, and 30s. Livingston County reported an additional case at Pontiac Correctional Center, bringing the countywide total to 33. The inmate, a man in his 70s, is hospitalized. LaSalle County reported another case, a woman in her 40s, bringing its countywide total to 143. Ford County remained at 21. Drive-through and pedestrian testing remains available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily at the McLean County Fairgrounds at 1108 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. And statewide on Thursday, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,527 new cases and 104 deaths. On Friday, the state gingerly moves into the third phase of the Restore Illinois plan, with some retail businesses and restaurants starting to reopen. And the other local story is Rivian phasing in reopening. About 120 workers to be at the plant soon, first delivery in 2021. This story is Dateline Normal. Rivian has begun a phased reopening of its West Normal plant, expecting to have 115 to 120 employees on site soon and to deliver its first electric vehicle order by 2021. Rivian spokesman Zach Dietmeyer said 50 to 60 workers have been inside the plant since mid-May, and now there's going to be 115 to 120. It's a phased return to work plan. The plant temporarily closed in March because of the coronavirus pandemic, although some contractors remained on site to work on projects related to updating the former Mitsubishi auto plant. Exterior construction has continued the entire time, said Dietmeyer. The construction work was considered an essential business under the governor's COVID-19 executive order because it involved transportation and logistics, he said. We are excited to be continuing to get people back to work, said Dietmeyer. Normal Mayor Chris Koos called the reopening great news. He said, it shows that they're a company that does what they say they are going to do. Resuming work was a matter of getting adequate amounts of personal protective equipment, Dietmeyer said. Workers will be practicing social distancing and spending limited hours in the plant, said Dietmeyer, adding that some people will continue to work from home. Rivian also will take worker temperatures to determine whether they are ill. Each will be supplied with protective clothing and equipment. Rivian's return-to-work team has been laser-focused on safety with a four-phase plan that emphasizes employee well-being. Additionally, the vehicle engineering and design teams have been truly innovative in developing digital methods to make sure that program timing remains on track, said Rivian CEO R.J. Skjeringe in a statement. Rivian says 10,000 vehicles are projected to be built by 2022 and 100,000 by 2030. As part of its commitment to the climate pledge, having a net zero carbon emission footprint by 2040, Amazon ordered 100,000 electric delivery vehicles from Rivian, the largest order ever for electric delivery vehicles, with vans starting to deliver packages to customers in 2021. Amazon plans to have 10,000 of the new electric vehicles on the road as early as 2022 and all 100,000 vehicles on the road by 2030. And this local story or state story is headlined, Worship Services Okayed. Pritzker lifts ban and issues guidelines in face of lawsuits. This story comes out of Springfield. People in Illinois will be allowed to attend worship services starting this weekend without fear of prosecution as the state enters phase three of Governor J.B. Pritzker's Restore Illinois reopening plan. Pritzker made the announcement during his daily COVID-19 briefing Thursday in Chicago, the same day a new lawsuit was filed in Lake County Circuit Court challenging the ban on public gatherings of more than 10 people as it applied to worship services. It also came on the same day the U.S. Supreme Court was preparing to decide whether it would hear the appeal of another case involving two churches in Chicago that were challenging the ban. Having received many plans and ideas from responsible faith leaders, the Illinois Department of Public Health has reviewed many detailed proposals and has provided guidance, not mandatory restrictions, for all faith leaders to use in their efforts to ensure the health and safety of their congregants, Pritzker said. This includes suggestions on capacity limits, new cleaning protocols, indoor gatherings of 10 persons or less, a reduction of activities like sharing food, and the safe conduct of outdoor congregating. The safest options remain remote and drive-in services, he added. But for those that want to conduct in-person activities, the Illinois Department of Public Health is offering best practices. Earlier in the day, the Thomas More Society, a conservative public interest law firm based in Chicago, filed suit in Lake County on behalf of five local churches and their pastors who said they intended to hold worship services anyway on Sunday, which is the Christian holy day of Pentecost. This is a total and complete victory for people of faith, Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel of the Thomas More Society, said in a statement. Illinois' governor and his administration abused the COVID-19 pandemic to stomp on the religious liberty of the people of Illinois by issuing guidelines only and not the previously announced mandatory restrictions. He has handed a complete victory to the churches in Illinois. The Thomas More Society also represented the beloved church in Lena when it challenged Pritzker's order in federal court in late April, and it represented the Jesus House Restoration Ministries in Urbana, which caters mainly to people struggling with homelessness and substance abuse, in another federal lawsuit filed May 12th. Another legal advocacy group, the Florida-based Liberty Council, filed suit on behalf of two Chicago churches. That request for a temporary restraining order was rejected in U.S. District Court as well as the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. But attorneys in the case appealed to the nation's high court, and on Wednesday, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who oversees the 7th Circuit, gave the Illinois Attorney General's office one day to file a reply brief so the court could decide whether to hear the case. All of those cases argued in one form or another that Pritzker's stay-at-home order, as it applied to churches, interfered with individuals' freedom of religion. The federal cases were based on the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of the free exercise of religion, while the Lake County case focused on the Illinois Constitution and the State Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Governments can and do put restrictions on churches on a regular basis. Churches are, for example, subject to local building codes and fire safety regulations, and those codes often put limits on the number of people who can be in the building at one time. And here is today's Flick Fact. Today's question is, J.B. Pritzker is governor of Illinois. What does J.B. stand for? And the answer is, interestingly, J.B. Pritzker is actually J.R. Pritzker, as in J. Robert Pritzker. He was named after his father's two brothers, Jay and Robert. But because Robert went by Bob, their nephew, the future governor, was nicknamed J.B. As humorously asked by reader J. Elder of Normal, is anything J. Robert signs as J.B. actually legal? And this has been part one of the Pantograph of Friday, May 29th, 2020. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.